good Wednesday night. If you don't have your copy of the outline, there's some at the back, and we can. And also, we've got very capable, helpful Doc here to give us. You can get a copy of the outline. While we're doing a little handing out of things, consignment is coming up. Consignment sale is all next week, and we'll be, most of us know about that. And that's one of our major ministry opportunities to the community. And I know everybody's busy. I know everybody's got a lot going on, but we still need some volunteers. So if you can do that, Michelle Mills will be somewhere in the halls of this place, and there's a table. And if you can sign up for a little bit of time, that would be good. All right. Well, looking around, we've had all kinds of experiences today, have we not? We've had, some of us I'm not asking for a show of hands on how many of you had a really great day, or how many of you, had their dog pull them down and get a black eye, like somebody in our church has recently. But if you're a guest with us, we're studying the book of Psalms on Wednesday night, and this is our third year to do this together. There's so much to be learned in Psalms. And so we're in Psalm 119, working our way through the longest chapter in the Bible and the longest Psalm in the Bible. And so if you've not been with us before, that's what we're doing. And I'm really glad you're here. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest, we're honored to have you. And we'll make sure our people get around to you and say hello if they haven't already. Welcome to our Wednesday night. So here's what we do. We're going to practice what we've been practicing now the last couple of weeks so that we approach God's Word. No matter what your day's been like, now we have an opportunity for the next little while to go to God's Word and to hear God's Word and to respond to it. So we're going to practice. As I've mentioned to you before, I have a burden that we learn as God's people how to approach God's Word and prepare ourselves to receive what God has to say to us from His Word. So Psalm 119, tonight our verses are verses 41 through 48. Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. So we're going to read through this section three times. All right, here's what we do. First time, I'll pray here in just a moment. We'll prepare our hearts to hear God's Word, and we'll read God's Word and also listen to it. Let's hear the Word of God. Then we'll pause for a moment, and then we'll read it again. The second time we read it, you need to do this in your Bible. You need to look for words, phrases that for today seem to be important words or phrases for you to pay attention to. And everybody here, they'll be different. And then we'll read it through again. And the third time through, we listen to obey. So if you want the order, it's we first listen. Second, we listen to observe, is the way it works. And the third time is we listen to obey, which means that you come from this reading, and before we even start and you hear me giving commentary from my own study today, you already have from God something that He's saying to you. I want you to pay attention to this. I want you to do this. I want you to respond to this. You get the idea. So Heavenly Father, as we come in tonight, we bring all kinds of burdens and needs before You. And we are honored and we're thankful to have the chance to come here without anyone attacking us, without anybody taking away our freedom and our opportunity to study the Word of God. And we're grateful for that. And we pray tonight, Lord, that You will meet us here in the Word of God, and that for some of us, for the first time, we would hear Your Word and be changed by it. Help me not to get in the way of Your Word speaking by the Holy Spirit. I seek to assist in the ways that You've helped me prepare, but I pray that I would not be a hindrance, a distraction, to all of these wonderful people who are here tonight, that we might gladly hear Your Word. As we learned last week, Your Word, as the psalmist says, is our delight. And so, Lord, I pray that tonight You would put a burning heart in the lives of these who are here tonight. They'll hear something from your word and it will burn their heart. Just like when the disciples walked with Jesus. And after he opened to them the word of God from the law through the prophets, their hearts burned. May we learn to delight in your word. And may we be faithful to obey and do your word. What you say to us, may we do. So, Lord, as we approach the Word of God tonight, we come approaching Scripture recognizing that these are your very words for us. And so we ask that now those of us who are born again, who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. And may we learn truly what you have for us tonight. Open our eyes that we might see wonderful things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when you approach God's word, you approach recognizing that this is God's way of speaking to us. It is a reverent, serious kind of time. And so we begin by reading these words, recognizing we're in the presence of the Lord. May your loving kindnesses also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word or to your promise. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love, and I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. So let's pause for a moment. So now we read again. This time we listen and we read to observe. So observe words, phrases that begin to stand out to you in these eight verses. May your loving kindnesses also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Now on your paper, on your notes, these are your notes you're keeping. Jot down any observations, words or phrases, spiritual thoughts that you have as we're reading these verses. Now we read again. This time we read, we listen to obey. May your loving kindnesses also come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances. So I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings, and shall not be ashamed. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Now, what is it that the Lord is saying to you? Do this, obey this. Now, I've mentioned this to you before. I'm trying to demonstrate this pattern on Wednesday nights because most of us read our Bibles like we read a magazine on the magazine rack, or like you read your emails. Just, I got to get through it. This is not a book you just want to hurry up and get through. And so, again, let me give the illustration. Well, many of us were here for Wednesday night dinner. There's not anybody here. What do we have tonight? Spaghetti? Is that what we had tonight? Okay. There's not one person here tonight. I didn't see any person, not even the youngest child, take all their plate and just stuff it all in their mouth at one time. I didn't see that. So we take our utensils and we cut up our food as we have been taught, and we eat it and we chew it. And we also chew with our mouths closed, and we don't talk with our mouth full, and we learn how to eat, don't we? Listen to me. Reading the Bible is more than just dashing through it and saying, bless God for the day, hallelujah, I got that done, now let's get to the real stuff. No, this is the real stuff. You're expecting it out of the preacher, aren't you? But you came on Wednesday night, you're getting the full dose. I'm just talking to you now. Pastor Mike, my life is always in a mess. Do you ever listen to the Lord? Do you ever take time to read your Bible? What do you do the first thing in the morning? What do you do at night? I asked you last week. I'm going to ask you again today. I'm looking in your eyes. Have you eaten today spiritually? You know, what have you had to eat today spiritually? Oh, Pastor Mike, I'm good. No, you're not good. You got to eat spiritually every day. All right? So I love you in Jesus. I'm doing my job. So tonight, this is the way. So some people say to me, Pastor Mike, my schedule's such that I have to be on the road. I don't even hardly have time to wake up in the morning to go. Then in your car with your many electronic devices, play the Bible in your car. You can still hear the Word of God. We live in an amazing time. Somebody will read the Bible for you. Isn't that unbelievable? And you can play it over and over and over again. Somebody said to me one day, well, you know, my husband's gotten to a place in his life where he's not able to read anymore. Play the Word of God. Play the Word of God. We play everything else. We play music. I mean, we could all get off on this poor old Steve. He's always trying to figure out how we're going. Everybody has their own kind of gospel flavor of music. We could get on that and chase that. Play the Word of God. I'm burdened about this because if you do not eat spiritually, you cannot have spiritual vitality, you cannot overcome sin, you cannot overcome temptation, and we find ourselves repeating the same things over and over in our life. So tonight, we talk about obedience. This whole psalm is about obeying God's word, keeping God's word, obeying God's word, keeping God's word. Well, obviously, I have to read God's word, to hear God's word, to obey it. So I want to give you, I didn't write this on the paper for you, but this is very important for me to say to you tonight. Please hear me. And this will go with the first the faithful way of obeying God's word. I'm highlighting the steps here. As we go through Psalm 119, those of you who are with us for the first time, the little headings you have at the top of your page represent each letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture. If you could see this in the Hebrew language, it's beautiful because each of the sentences begin, it's an acrostic. So it's in the Hebrew language, it's beautiful and it is poetic and it is powerful. It's sacred poetry at its finest. It's beautiful. God's word is beautiful. And just to even look at. So we've come now down this way, but as we're moving through the letters, we're also ascending on the faithful way of obedience. Listen to me. We're ascending on the faithful way of obedience. Here's what I want to say. It's not enough for you to know God's word. It's not enough for you to know God's word. We have to live God's word. It has to come to life inside of us. That's why we take it in. That's why we consume it. You eat this book. You live it. You live it. So when you talk about obeying God's word, we're talking actually about living God's word. So I want to take you again to Matthew chapter 7. All this is introductory, but I need to do it. I'm not wasting our time. This is important. Some haven't been with us before, and I'm trying to give some introduction here. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus ends Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Okay, class, what is Matthew 5, 6, and 7 sometimes? The Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus, these are the red letter words of Jesus, an amazing thing, and every one of God's children, all of God's Christian followers of Jesus, we must learn and understand Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus concludes his comments by saying this. Now, go to Matthew 7, 24. Matthew 7, 24. That baby's not going to bother us. Is that baby going to bother anybody in here? No. All right. So we don't want her to be embarrassed. I mean, we got adults in here that cry, and they're pitiful. We love hearing that baby cry. Yeah, there's a crier back there at the back. He came in the door crying back there, Curtis. All right, Matthew 7, 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them. Please pay attention to what Jesus says. Two things. Everyone who hears these words of mine. Well, we're obviously not on the hill when Jesus said it. We're reading it. Remember what I said to you many times? Read, hear with your eyes. Hear with your eyes when you read Scripture. Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had not been founded on the rock. So what do we do when we go to God's word? Listen to what Jesus tells us. We hear it and we act on it. Folks, these words, these wonderful words in the Bible are meant for us to live them. We're to live them. We're to live God's word, not just know God's word. And I am so appreciative for those who taught me the word of God to know it and to understand it and to read so I can know God's word and know all the parts and how it's put together. But this is you know, we do the story in our church and we teach on 2-7. Remember, Disciple Life classes are starting this coming Sunday night and on Sunday mornings. We have them all the time. I'm glad for us to have Bible knowledge, and there's a lot of very knowledgeable Bible knowledge people in this room, but I say to them the same as I say to myself. It's not enough for me to know God's word up here in my mind. I got to live God's word. Do you agree with me or not? That's what the Bible says. Obedience is knowing the truth and doing the truth, living it. So I don't say the things I used to say. I don't do the things I used to do. My life conforms to God's word. All right. So this faithful way of obeying, just notice the order now. We're just going to read these through quickly back from the beginning of Psalm 119. Now here we go. Obedience, first of all, brings blessing. Psalm 119, verse 1. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, catch it now, who walk in the law of the Lord. You're blessed when you obey God's word and you live God's word. Number two, the next step on the path. Obedience brings cleansing. Verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it, how? According to God's word. So I purify my life when I obey God. It means I'm not going to do some things I used to do. I'm going to step outside of sinfulness in my life. I'm going to avoid the path that leads to sin. Third step, obedience brings life. Verse number 17, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. So all of a sudden now, life is about obeying God. Life is about obeying God. Next step in obedience, in living the word of God, brings renewal. In verse number 25, my soul cleaves to the dust, revive me according to your word. Revive me. And we saw when we were looking at that, how many times in Psalm 119 the word revive is used. It's used 10 times in the psalm. 10 times the psalmist prays, revive me, revive me, revive me. That becomes very important for us. The next step on the next step on the path of obedience. My soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I just read that one. And now verse 33. We go for instruction. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. So we have to be taught. We have to be instructed. So as we are obeying God, he keeps instructing us. By the way, you know, it's interesting. You can pick any sport you want, but the one that is the most interesting, if you find this, you know, you find that the golfers, the professional golfers who come along, they're obsessed with having their coach them. So they've played, and some of these men are amazing golfers, and women are amazing golfers, but you see them when they practice, their coach is there. So the more they do it, they do the game, they play the game, they live the game, if you want to call it that, but they're also being instructed in the game. You know, sometimes I get the impression from, and I guess this is just what happens in Baptist church, and we've got to bust these myths up, that people get the idea that you graduate from being instructed. You kind of get to the point where you're kind of on your own. You become kind of your own individualized Christian. And you don't really need any preaching. You don't really need teaching from anybody. You just kind of go with your own deal. You're kind of your own guy or gal. And you and Jesus out there on the trail, praise God. Well, it really doesn't work like that. All the way along our life, we need instruction. As I'm obeying, listen, I must be instructed. As I'm obeying, I'm instructed. Some of you in your jobs, you have continuing education. The reason why you have it is nobody at your job wants you to stop learning. Some of you do some very important physical, I was just thinking about our health people that are in our church. I'm glad you do continuous training. You know, if you have to do something to my body, thank goodness you're doing it, but you're training. You're doing it, but you're training. This is the idea of God's word. The next step is what we look at tonight, salvation. May your loving kindnesses, notice it's plural, may your loving kindnesses come to me, almost like a person. Yes, it is a person. We talked about it Sunday morning. You are loved. Do you see what great love the Father has given to you that you should be called children of God? And such you are. Remember, beloved, now we are children of God. And it does not yet appear what we will be, but we know that when Christ shall appear, we shall be like him. Remember, 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Remember, I'm the naive pastor. I know you remember all my sermons, so you know everything I said Sunday morning. So remember, you are greatly loved by God. You are greatly loved by God. Look at this. The prayer begins, obedience begins when we understand that we've been saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. Are you hearing me? Salvation is in three tenses, church. Salvation is in three tenses. You have been saved. You've been born again. I'm looking around. You know, this is Wednesday night. I mean, this is a hardcore bunch right here. We're down to hardcore. You know, I'm looking around, knowing most of you. We've been born again. We have committed to follow Jesus. You have been saved, but you are being saved, and you will be saved. So we have salvation in all three tenses. So look at the prayer as you begin your day. May your loving kindnesses, have you experienced the loving kindnesses of God? Of course you have. So have I. So we learn, first of all, tonight, this first principle, obeying God's word brings salvation. So, I want us to go back to an old passage that many of us know, but I want to remind us all of this because it shows us this whole process of salvation. Romans chapter 10, I'd like for you to find that in your Bible. Romans chapter 10, because we know the verse that I'm going to say. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But listen, first I want you to go back and look at this for a minute. Paul says some things that are very important to us that help us understand, may your loving kindnesses come to me. How do they come to me? How do I experience the loving kindness of God? When he saves me. I am loved by God, and when I respond to him in obedience and believe on Jesus Christ, I am saved. Amen. I experience salvation. But look at this, beginning in verse 13. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is Romans 10:13. Okay? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. All right? Good word, isn't it? That's a good word. For there's no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Jump back up to 12. Now down to 14. How then will they call on him? Now there are four questions. Four questions. So here's the point. Whoever believes on him will not be disappointed. In verse 11, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 13. Now we have four questions. Listen. How will they call on him in whom they've not believed? In other words, how can you call on somebody you've not believed in? And how will you believe? Follow the pattern. How will you believe in him whom you've not heard? So hearing is important. And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of great things. However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Some hear, some don't hear. Now remember, then we go to verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So I believe very much that the Bible teaches us that as we read the Bible, we are hearing God's word. Just as much as me preaching and commenting on God's word. See, this is in our tradition as Baptists, we spend a lot of time on the preacher's comments and the teacher's comments. We don't always value, listen, the reading and the hearing of God's word. Oh, you need to hear the words of God in the Bible. You need to read the words of God. You need to meditate deeply, think about the words of God. Not just Pastor, Dr. Seuss and Pastor Bob and Pastor Mike's comments. I know lots of people that can quote to me their favorite preacher and how he's preached on XYZ, but here's my question. Do you read the Word of God? I'm not being disrespectful. I'm simply saying no preacher's comments ever replace reading and hearing the Word of God. Everybody with me? That's what we're trying to learn to do here. You must read the Word of God for yourself. I still remember, we talked about William Tyndale, his vision before all of his manuscripts of translating the Bible into English way, way beyond. I again say to you, I'm chasing rabbit, but I got to say it. This is a gift you have, this English Bible, this translation is a gift. He said his dream was to see every plowboy be able to read the Bible for himself. Well, every plowboy and everybody else can read it too if we've taught people how to read. So tonight, salvation comes when I hear the Word of God. And so I'm urgently trying to appeal to our church to get us all to find a place in our private homes to sit before the Lord and open the Word of God, just like Mary did when Jesus was there at the house and Martha was burning the bread. I just want to see if you were listening. She sat before the Lord. She listened. You must submit to the Word of God, not to some preacher, not to some church. You must submit to the Word of God in your life. And that's what obedience is all about. Faith comes by hearing, and faith leads to salvation. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Somebody says, that's too easy. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? So, we learn, first of all, that obedience is tied to salvation. We must obey the gospel. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we're starting the journey. Now let's go back and let's keep going and follow the pattern. Now I want you to notice some things that happen here. Look at this. You have to read very carefully to catch this pattern. Notice, let me comment and read through the verses and make some observations about the way they're connected together. First of all, verse 41, may your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your word. Now, I'm reading from the New American Standard, and the next word in verse 42 is so. But actually, the Hebrew phrase is then I will have an answer for him who reproaches me. So let me, may I read it again? Now listen. May your loving kindnesses come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word, then, notice the order, then I will have an answer for him who reproaches me. For I trust in your word, there's the period. And then another request, do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I wait for your ordinances, verse 44, then I will keep your law continually forever and ever. And then you have the promises that he makes to God, and we'll talk about them in just a moment. I want you to see that order because it is important for you to read the punctuation in your Bible. I mean, it's not just there to kind of break it up, and everything matters. You should kiss your English teacher if you had a good one. You should, because you can read. You can read. You can read. Obeying God's word brings salvation from the enemy. May your loving kindnesses come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Then, listen, I will have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. I want you to listen to this, and you can turn there if you'd like. And for many of us, it's familiar, but this is the problem with familiarity. Have you ever heard the phrase, familiarity breeds contempt? Have you ever heard that phrase? Maybe I should say, familiarity breeds overlooking things, dismissing things like we already know them. Well, we've heard this, and I'm about to say something that will lock in because you can all go back to your own experiences of having heard this with preachers somewhere. I'm about to say it. It's on your paper there. The one who reproaches you today is not your enemy that lives next door to you. That's not really your enemy. Your enemy, if you're a follower of Jesus, is the evil one, the devil. The devil is the enemy. He is the reproacher. He is the one who reproaches, who accuses, who seeks to destroy your credibility as a follower of Jesus. And Paul says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the schemas, the schemes, the strategies of the devil. You know, Pastor Mike, oh no, are you? Don't tell me you're one of those guys. You're another one of those devil preachers preaching on the devil. I'm just preaching the Bible. We act as if there is no evil one in this world. We act as if when we read John, as I said the other day, 2 weeks ago in 1 John, the last hour is here, Antichrist is coming, and many Antichrists are already here. We dismiss this because we're an educated people. Devil and demons and wickedness, you have to decide. But I promise you this, if you start to follow Jesus and you trust the Lord, you have now an enemy who will keep you from following Jesus if he can, disrupt you, distract you, keep you off the path. You see, you've been delivered out of that dominion of his world, and now you've been placed in a new world. And so the strategy of the evil one is real. Jesus used, and I'm doing this because not everyone in here is at the same place in your Bible knowledge, but I'd like for you to, and I'll just turn there quickly, but in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted, he went into the desert and was tempted in Luke 4 for 40 days. The devil tempted him. He did not eat anything during those days, and when they ended, he became hungry. And then the devil came to him and, you know, gave him these temptations. If you're the Son of God, tell the stones to become bread. And how did Jesus respond? It is written, man shall not live on bread alone. He responded with Scripture to Satan's accusation or reproach. He said, he showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said, I will give you all this domain if you will hand it over to you, if you will worship before me. And the Lord said, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only, answering with Scripture. Then Satan, the evil one, the devil says to him and quotes Scripture to him about himself as the Messiah and in the book of Psalms and says, Why, jump off the top of the temple here, because the angels have been given charge, and not your foot will not even touch a stone. And Jesus said, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. I say that to say to you tonight that as we obey God's word, this is why this phrase means so much. I will have an answer for him who reproaches me because of my obedience to God's word. When the evil one comes with attacks and temptation, I have a response from God's word because I've learned God's word. I've eaten God's word. I have strength and the ability to say no. I respond. This is the warfare that you're involved in, my beloved friend. This is the real reality of following Jesus. It is understanding that we have an enemy who seeks to destroy and discredit us. Well, obeying God's word brings hope. So let's follow the order. May your loving kindness also come to me, O Lord, of your salvation according to your word. Then I will have an answer for him who reproaches me. Why? Because I trust in your word. See? I trust in your word. And then we find this interesting thing. Obeying God's word brings hopeful waiting. Now, I've put two words there together that sound like contradiction. There's not anybody in here that believes waiting is hopeful. There's not anybody in here. You know, I got to go to the dentist in the morning, and I'm already dreading it right now. You know what I'm saying? And I have a good dentist. She's really nice. She just does bad things to your mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's just, she's nice. She's nice the whole time she's doing it, but you got to wait out there. You know what I'm talking about. I try to go as early as I can. Just hurry up and get me in there and do what you got to do. But hopeful waiting sounds like a contradiction. Sounds like they don't go together. But we read here, do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Listen, for I wait for your ordinances. So maybe someone has said, so our father, when we were growing up, or our mother, they made a promise to us. But we had to wait for the promise to come to pass. It didn't happen the day they necessarily said it, but we had to wait for it. As we read God's word, we know this to be true. And some of you are finding yourself in a hard place right now. You're hopefully waiting. But you see, we're all hopefully waiting. What really matters more than anything else is not a new house, not some more property, not something else that we can have, a new job or some new relationship here. What we're hopefully waiting for is the return of Jesus and a new heaven and a new earth and a new world. That's what we're hoping. What we're hopefully waiting for. You know, this world is way, way over-promoted. I mean, it's just not what it's hyped up to be. So we hopefully wait. Do not take your word of truth utterly out of my mouth. This is a prayer, and here's what's being said here. When I'm in this world and when I'm facing the reproaches of the enemy, if I'm not careful, listen, church, this is important. You got to listen to me tonight. I'll lose God's word out of my mouth. See, speaking comes after I've obeyed God. Obeying God means that I'm saved, that I have an answer to the one who's reproaching me, and I'm trusting God's word. Now listen, then I have something to say. The problem is sometimes I'm up here talking about things before I'm trusting and before I'm aware of what's going on. We wait on God's word. We're waiting tonight on God's word to be fulfilled, to be completed. So speaking God's word while we're waiting. Turn to Psalm 40, verses 1 to 3. I want you to see this. This is important. Psalm 40, 1 to 3. Don't take your word out of my mouth. Look, everybody here, based on the circumstances you're going through, you're saying something. Did you know that? I caught myself not long ago in a situation where I knew God had sent me to do a certain thing. And you know what? I went home and I was complaining to Pat about what I was going to do. I was belly aching and whining and blah, 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 rah, rah, going on and on about it, on and on about it. And the Lord convicted me about it. The Lord basically saying to me, you're not saying anything from my word out of your mouth. All that's coming out of your mouth is complaining and whining and criticizing. You're criticizing, Mike, what I have sent you to do. Do not let your word of truth come out of my mouth. Everybody in here, based on the circumstances you're going through, you're saying something. We should say God's word as we respond to these things in our life. Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and trust in the Lord. What you say has an influence on others. And so the psalmist says, and do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I wait on your ordinances, trusting God for his help. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 6, 32 and 33, he said, don't worry about tomorrow. Your heavenly Father knows what you have need of before you ask. It changes, by the way you pray. If you really think about that, it will change what you pray for. And so you must think about that tonight. The Bible says to avoid worldly talk. You know, what value is it to sit around with the good old boys and lie and say dishonorable things and curse and ridicule? What? That even happens in the hallways of the church. Did you know that? I'm not making this up. I've been doing this too long. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not take the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. I wait on your ordinances. And then we come to this amazing statement about commitment. I will keep your law continually forever. Now, back in verse 33, he said the same thing. Teach me, O Lord, your ways, and I'll observe it to the end. Commitment to obedience. Psalm 37, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Ephesians 5:20, give thanks at all times for all things. So we have this picture, church. Now let's follow the progression again. Just go back and look at your notes. Obeying God brings salvation. Obeying God brings salvation from the enemy. Obeying God brings hopeful waiting for salvation. We wait on the Lord based on his word. Obeying God's word brings commitment. And now, as we finish, you see this thing of freedom and confidence. This is beautiful. So now you have these promises that are made. And I want you to see this tonight, because what happens when you start to obey the Lord and you read the word of God, you make commitments to the Lord. You make commitments to the Lord. You say to the Lord, I will not do this anymore, I will do this. I will not say that anymore, I will say this. We make commitments. Obedience leads to commitment. People always tell me, well, you know, there's just no commitment in the world anymore. Obeying God brings commitment. Obeying God brings commitment. But before we see that, you have this freedom that's described. For I will walk. First, notice he says in verse 44, I will keep your law continually. Then he says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. Now, all you people out here in Dixon are going to love this. You're going to love this. I put it on your paper there. Literally, in the Hebrew, it says, I will walk in wide places. Isn't that good news? That's just right here in Dixon County. You got wide places. Some of you got wide places. I mean, acres and acres. You've been mowing it. How's that going for you right now? You've been mowing all those acres. You got wide places. Man, we don't like to be out here in Dixon County and the surrounding counties. We don't like to be hemmed in. I brought a few of our country people down to where I live in the city, down here in the hood. They can't take it but about 15 minutes, and they got to get out of there. They got to have wide places. That train and that all those sirens and all that. I had Sid over there one day. I thought Sid was going to have a heart attack right on the porch out there. I built that big porch and not one country person from our church come sit on that porch. Too much noise. Wide places. Give me the wide places. It's a description of freedom. Jesus said, you will know the truth. Now catch this. You will know the truth. I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. When you seek the word of God to understand God's word, it's like opening up the door for you. It's the wide place. The law of the Spirit of life sets you free. So much I could say about that, but I want to get to these statements of confidence and commitment that are made here. Look at all the I wills in this psalm. Number one, because I'm waiting on God's word in verse 43, I will keep your law. Number two, I will walk at liberty. Number three, I will speak of your testimonies. Number four, I will not be ashamed. Number five, I shall delight in your commands. And number six, I will lift up my hands. And number seven, I will meditate on your statutes. Now that's some commitments. That's commitments that come from obedience. We see confidence here and we see commitment here. And they're so important. And as I finish up here, let me just try to tie this together. Notice, I will speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. This is a picture of living our life as obedient followers of Jesus, as followers of God, without shame. Are you ashamed for somebody to know that you're a follower of Jesus at school, at your job? Don't be ashamed. We're unashamed. Psalm 31, verse number 1, is one of these great verses that describes this. And see, the Psalms always express for us how we feel. See, I don't always know how to describe the spiritual feelings I'm having, but the Psalms teach you, express for you spiritual feelings. That's why they're so important for us as we grow spiritually. Psalm 31, in you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. I don't have to be ashamed because I have come to the Lord and He has saved me in Jesus. My refuge is in Him. I have confidence there. Paul said, I put it up here on the screen for you, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. He's able to keep what I've committed to Him against that day. I know in whom I have believed. Jesus does remind us, however, on the other hand, that it's a sad day when we are ashamed. And Jesus says, let me just read it to you, Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with holy angels. So when I have been ashamed of the Lord, I have to confess it as sin. I don't want the Lord to come and I've lived with shame that I'm a Christian, that I'm a follower of Jesus, that I soft pedal that I kind of dance around it with people. Even here in Middle Tennessee, right here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, we got all this dancing going on about, look, again, whether it's the government, whether it's the school, whether it's something at work, whether it's in the culture, whether it's in a family, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. I will speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed, and I will delight in your commandments. Notice this now. He stepped it up. When you obey God's word and find how dear it is to you, last week we talked about how to delight in God's word, and I hope you learn how to do that. There's so much to give you in all these verses. My frustration with this is literally you could preach each of these verses a week at a time. Don't panic. I'm not going to do that. But I'm just saying there's so much here. My frustration is it's like drinking from a fire hydrant here. So you see this picture is one of delighting in God's word. And now guess what? Delight leads to love. Somebody told me, Pastor Mike, we should only love God. We shouldn't love the Bible. okay, I don't have like a warmness in my heart for this New American Standard leather Bible. But I do love God's words because they come from God. Amen. Do you love God's words? Do you love them? Do you love them? Do you delight in them? When you delight in something, you spend time with it. I will delight in your commandments, which I love. Look at this. He says it again. And I'll lift up my hands to the commandments, which I love. Two things that show this commitment to worship and to love and valuing the Word of God. Oh, folks, this is an Old Testament saint. Not even a New Testament follower of Jesus who's saying this. He's mouthing for us. He's expressing for us what it means to be an obedient Christian. How I love God's Word. It is my delight. And I lift up my hands to your commandments. The picture here is not so much of worship, even though I wrote that in here. The picture is of help me. I need it. Give me some more. It's what children do when they're little. They want more. They want more. They want more. So the last thing I'd say to you is what we've talked about before. He concludes by saying again, I will meditate on your statutes. Listen, obedient Christians, obedient followers, those who obey God's word, continue to be instructed. By the way, it affects you emotionally. These are all emotional words. And then it leads you to deep thought. We're Americans. We don't think very deeply. We don't have time. I mean, who's got time to think deeply? Followers of Jesus. There's some things you need to be thinking deeply about. First thing would be this. How old are you? It's time to go. It's a good thing it's time to go. I'm about to get on a tangent here. But I'm going to finish this and we'll go. How old are you? You need to think about how old you are today. How old are you? You know, there's some of us that have this idea, I guess it came from TV, that we're just going to have all this time, we're going to get all this stuff, we're going to always look young, because if you put on all that cream and stuff, you're just going to be good, everything's going to be great. Just, it's never going to change. This world is so beautiful. It's like heaven on earth. How old are you? You see, I put it here. The Bible, when it's only read and you don't meditate on it, you don't love it. You meditate on what you love. You think about it a lot. And there's some things all of us in this room spend our time thinking about. That's what you love. I hope that God will teach us all as a church to have, delighted devotedness to God's word. Delighted devotedness. You know, whatever else I've got to do, I mentioned it, I'm not going to embarrass the families here who said it to me, but it's stuck with me so much. Again, their little comment about that they had family members who, when people were visiting at the house in the evenings, when it was at a certain time of the night, these grandparents would dismiss themselves from the company. They'd go in their room and shut the door, and they were in there reading their Bible. Now, they weren't trying to be rude. They just had their priorities right. Right? So what are you going to do tonight when you go home? Look, if you turn on the news, I got news for you. It's the same as what you heard before you got in here today. I mean, it's the same thing. They're just going to change news anchors and their clothes, and they'll just run the same regurgitated thing over again. Do you like leftover food? Well, that's what you're going to get tonight on the news. So how about going to this right here? This would be better for you. You need to eat tonight before you go to bed. And I don't mean literal food. I mean God's word. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I'm not fussing at you. I love you in Jesus. But the obedient life comes from loving God's word. Your word have I hid in my heart. It's right here in this psalm. Your word have I hidden my heart that I may not sin against God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all these wonderful people who are here tonight.